Welcome back to the Access to Education podcast, where we talk about all things having to do with learning disabilities and learning challenges. As parents, our goal is always to ensure that our children have everything they need. Education is one of those items that we as parents understand the importance of. Without the proper education setting, it can be hard for some students. For most students, the public education system can meet their needs. They can handle the demands of the quote-unquote regular classroom, and class size often doesn't affect their schooling. However, for some children, learning in the public education system is not always the right fit for them. Though schools can work hard to be inclusive, remove barriers, and create equal opportunities, it doesn't always meet the needs of the children or the family. Some may choose to send their children to specialized schools in hopes of providing them with opportunities to experience success. Here's the thing, though. Which school do you go to? Independent? Private? There can be a million different questions. That's why today on the show, I'm bringing you Paige Walker. She is the owner and operator of Renew Education. She supports families in their journey to find the right fit school. Paige, welcome to the show. A timely conversation in my universe right now as we are dealing with the transition and currently in the private system. Do we stay? Do we go? Do we move? I don't know.
So thank you for coming. Thank you for having me on.
So yeah, it's sort of dual purpose for me. It's a little bit of like, you know, hear some of your thoughts on the matter, but also share that. Cause I think we don't talk about the difference between the public system, the private system, the independent schools, why you would go to one, why you might go to the other.
Definitely. Yeah. It's a heavy thing for parents to navigate, especially if you've been in the public system and there's a lot to navigate within that. And then to leave it is a whole other ballgame.
Well, and then to go back to it, right?
So that too.
You go back the other way in all directions. It's quite complicated. So let's start with a very basic bare bones question, but I think it's going to be important to kind of frame today's conversation. So what is the difference between an independent school and a private school?
This is a great question because usually parents and other people out there are using the term private school interchangeably between different private and independent schools. What a lot of the time people are referring to private school, they just think it is something that's not public, but there is a difference between the two. And it's important to differentiate between them because a lot of the times when I'm talking with parents and trying to understand what their goals are for their children and the type of environment they want to be in. And then I teach them about independent versus private. Then they start to realize, oh, okay, like that's why these schools that I were looking at were different than these schools. So basically, independent school is a not-for-profit, while a private school is for profit. So an independent school is going to have a board of directors that oversee the school. And independent schools are also accredited. So the Canadian Federation of Independent Schools. So it's kind of like a regulating body that helps all the schools be kind of on the same page and to make sure that they have systems upheld, while a private school can operate in any way that they decide. And a lot of the time too, you're going to have an owner who then, depending on the school, can play many hats. They can be the owner. They could also be the admissions person, or maybe they're a teacher in the school. So it really just depends on the school environment and how it's set up. But yeah, the main difference is between independent and private school. Independent, you can put donations to the school. It's tax deductible. While a private school, you're not going to have that option. So sometimes parents are looking at alternative school options and they want to make sure that's a not-for-profit. And so that's where we kind of lead them if that's the route that they wanted to go down.
Is there a difference in the curriculum that is taught? So I'm thinking in the public education system, we have to follow the Ontario curriculum. So going private would mean that you're not necessarily following the curriculum and independent you would be.
Yeah. So the independent schools, they're still going to be regulated by the Ministry of Education. All the schools are, but the difference is that, yeah, with private schools, sometimes they are kind of picking and choosing what pieces of curriculum they're using. So for example, they could use a math program from another country, a literacy program from another country, and they're kind of just designing their own curriculum and how they deliver lessons. A lot of the time too, private schools have been developed because the individual who started it has realized, oh, okay, there's this niche of specific children, this group who need a specific learning style, and they feel as though the Ontario system is not meeting that. So that's when they kind of veer off and kind of change things up a bit. Well, yeah, independent schools are going to be ministry inspected, and then they also are going to be following the Ontario curriculum. And a lot of them say too, we follow and exceed the Ontario curriculum as well. That's probably one of the biggest differences.
So I feel like that's kind of an important differentiation to make. And I'm thinking more in terms of, should you ever decide to leave the private system, right? So whether independent or private, but the situation where you're paying for your child to go to school and you're not in the public system, would it then not be really important to know and understand well whether they're following the Ontario curriculum, or does it not matter if you were to put them back in the public system?
That's a tricky question, honestly, right? Because again, every kid is going to get what they're going to get from the education. So for specific children, if they're not following the Ontario curriculum, and let's just say they're doing things at their own pace, or even if they're doing it at an accelerated pace, right? And then they move into the public system and it's just a different way of teaching. And that's the thing too, right? When you're in an independent school and a private school, you're going to generally find that a lot of the teaching methodologies and philosophies are aligning. That's how they hire. And then when you're a public school, there's so much variance between that, which I think can be challenging when kids go, especially go to high school. And then it's like one teacher teaches like this in science, and then the math teacher teaches like that, and then the English teacher teaches like that. There's just a lot to think about for parents if you're mm-hmm. in private and then you're thinking to switch to public afterwards. And also too, when you're in those smaller school environments, there's usually a lot of learning support available. And when you switch into public, depending on your child's diagnosis, it can kind of change as to how much support they're receiving.
Are there different private and independent schools who have differing amount of supports? Like, are they all created equal in supporting students with learning needs, or are certain ones really kind of niche in that environment?
Yeah, so they're definitely not all the same. I was actually talking to an admissions department today, and we were having that discussion about when a parent discloses a child's diagnosis, and making sure that the school knows that, because it actually changes how they're able to support your child, right? If your child has a learning disability and they need remedial reading support, we want to make sure that that school they're going to can provide it. So if a parent's not disclosing that information, then it's going to make it really challenging when they start in September and all the documentation is provided and they don't have a full picture. So yeah, there are some schools who specialize in different types of learning needs. So there's some schools that are more focused on social emotional learning and helping students through that. A lot of them have it integrated, but there's some that are very focused on that. And then you're also going to have some schools that are going to be highly focused on literacy for students with dyslexia. They're specialized in that. And then there's also some schools too, where some children have had difficulty with behavior. And so they really specialize in helping children through that in a very small, very nurturing environment that places the emphasis on understanding the child first, which you kind of hope that the education system is doing, but sometimes it's not. So they really zone in on that child and what they need to help them academically. So yeah, there's a ton of different school environments. And then there's lovely schools who kind of focus on all of it, right? And they want to make sure that they have an inclusive model. So there's a lot out there. It's definitely hard to navigate if you're unsure of what's going to be a good fit.
So speaking of the right fit, how do parents start the process of looking at or exploring a different school system? Because I'm going to stop using private independent. I think I'm just going to say a different school system, just because I don't want people, as they're listening tonight, to get confused. So
yeah, for sure.
If they're looking at moving out of the public education system into one of the other options, where do they start? Like, I can picture a parent staring at a Google page, ready to type in whatever it is they think they're looking for. But how does one start to kind of dig into that? Because you're right, it is hard, it is complicated, and there are so many options.
So I always, when I consult with parents, and even before they've come to me, I always get them to think about like what their goals are for their child and talk about some of their non-negotiables too. Because a lot of parents will come to me and say, okay, it needs to be a co-ed. I don't want a single sex environment, or it needs to be within this distance from our home. Because that's important too, right? You don't want to be traveling an excessive like 30 plus minutes one way. It can get really challenging, especially if you have multiple kids and multiple schools, right? So there is definitely a huge emphasis needs to be placed on things that you are not willing to back down on and that you really need to have in a school. And that also comes in terms of the level of support. So if you know your child has a diagnosis, it's also important to include that. So making sure that if your child needs specialized reading support, that they offer that, whether in a one-on-one setting or small group setting, whichever format that they use. So having your non-negotiables and also just making sure that you talk as a family about what your goals are, because some families are just like, we just need to get out of our school. Okay, but think about, how long do you want your child to be there? Is this just a one-year thing? Hopefully we kind of want it to be longer than that. Are you looking for like a K-6 school, a K-8, or a K-12, right? Like there's such a huge range. Or sometimes parents too are just thinking, you know what, they were in public school, I want them to go to a different school for middle school, and then maybe we'll think about high school after. So that kind of just leaves your options open.
Yeah. And I mean, to be really blunt about kind of where I'm at, I mean, I know Paige, yeah, you know this because we've talked about this, yeah, but that's kind of where I fell in, right? My son finished grade 6, and we knew that with his dyslexia, there were a few things that we weren't going to be ready for high school if we didn't make a change. And we knew that the school system we were in wasn't working. And so we moved him to a private school that focuses on kids with dyslexia. And that was what we did. And now we're on the other side of it now at the end, not end of grade 8, but we're beginning of grade 8. We have to start choosing where he's going. And now again, it's the discussion of, do we go back to a small independent school where he might get more support? But then your point is a good one, where for me, the really important thing is I now want him to be close to home, where he's going to have friends in the community. That for me in high school feels more important. And so now we're trying to figure out, okay, what do we have around us that's possible, right? And it's really hard.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing too. Like if you do want your child to be going to the local public school, that's not a bad thing at all. But it's also, if you know your child has learning needs, like what can you do outside of school, right? So like what opportunities for tutoring or any other supports, like occupational therapy, speech and language, all of those things, right? Like, cause that's, the school is a part of your child's life, but it's not the entirety of it, right? Like there's so many other aspects to who they are as a person, and just them growing up socially, emotionally is so important too. So yeah, that's definitely a good thing to consider, because yeah, you want the next 4 years, especially high school. It's a challenging time as a teenager, but like switching schools and just not being in the right fit is definitely makes it all that much harder.
At what point in the year do we start exploring the different school options? When do we start, or when do parents, should they start anticipating putting in the packages to these various schools? Because that in and of itself, having done it, we did it for more than one school when we were looking, and we did it for more than one child. It's quite a laborious thing to do. So can you talk a little bit about like when you start kind of whittling down the schools, but then also the application process and what that looks like?
Definitely. So a lot of the times parents are just, they're wondering like when to start off. So the earlier, the better. If you are anticipating that you would like to switch your child, you need to start looking in the fall, ideally. A lot of schools do have a deadline, which I'll talk about in a second. So September is kind of your time just to start looking in. So is October. October is usually when schools start their tours, because September craziness has died down and they have a chance to breathe and open the doors to visitors, especially now kind of where we are. Like a lot of schools are offering in-person tours, which is amazing. There's still virtual options typically, but you're able to go in the school, which is a huge, huge thing and a big deciding factor. Like parents need to tour the schools that they're considering. So October is definitely the time to really look into it. November, you can still be looking into it too. It becomes a bit of a crunch because some of the schools have application deadlines in the beginning of December. So some of the schools we're looking at right now with a family are December 1st, December 2nd, December 5th, in and around that time. But some schools also have rolling admission, which is nice. And it's also kind of like first come, first serve. So if you see a school and you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing, and they have rolling admission, I mean, apply sooner than later, especially so you can space out those applications as well, right? And once you've tackled one application, it generally starts to get a little bit easier because you have an idea of what the schools are looking for and all the documentation that you also need to provide as well. Like if your child has any IEPs or psychoeducational assessments, it's good to kind of get those all put together so the schools have a chance to look at them and review them, or any other reports that you're providing to them. So yeah, by December, a lot of schools, not all of them, have their application deadline, and then they start going through them December, January, and then independent private schools do re-enrollment for their current families in the new year. And then that's when they know how many spaces are available. And then typically come February is when parents hear back about whether or not their child has a space. So definitely getting started earlier is better if you're looking for the following September. If you're looking like down the road, like your child, for example, is in like preschool or daycare and you're looking for kindergarten, like you obviously still have time, but it's not a bad idea to start chatting with schools, going on tours. Like I used to work at a school and I taught kindergarten and I had parents coming when their children were two because they just wanted to see, is this a potential fit? Because if it's not, then we want to take it off our list. Right. And even if you're thinking for high school and your child's in grade 6 or grade 7, it definitely doesn't hurt to take that tour earlier on. There's a lot to go through with the application process. So if you're able to seek out help from an educational consultant, it definitely will go a long way to help you know what to expect during that process and also when you get to the interview portion as well.
So all schools, obviously you're going to want to include, you know, IEPs, report cards, you know, they're going to tell you the list of things, documentation that you need to provide. But my question is, with the application process, do all schools do an interview process and is that it, or is there more than the interview?
Yeah. So it really depends on the school. It also depends on the entry year. So typically the younger you are, there's not as much of a, like an admissions test, we can call it. It's more of an observation. So typically what's going to happen once you've done your application, you'll be invited for a visit day or a visit morning or afternoon, however the school formats it, where your child will get an opportunity to be at the school and the teachers will observe your child and just see, A, if it's going to be a good fit. And it also gives your child a good idea too, if they really do like the school environment. So that is an option that a lot of schools do offer. Not all of them can offer it because when they have hundreds of applicants, especially depending on the grade, that will change it as well. So yeah, that is one aspect of it. And then you will be invited to an interview as long as everything goes well. And some schools will just go right to the interview and some will say, I'm not sure if this is going to be a good fit. And then maybe you don't go on to the interview phase. And then depending on the grade, usually a little bit older, that's when you kind of get into the admissions test or just kind of, they want to have a general idea of where your child is at academically. So that could kind of start anywhere from like grade 4 and up. Some schools start a little bit earlier, but again, it's so developmentally appropriate. Like they want to make sure that it's not like a 6-hour test. They just want to get a general idea of where your child is functioning for literacy and math.
So what if there's a situation, and I feel like you answered this before, but I want to make sure that it's clear. There's a situation where, say, a family starts in one type of school system in September and they get to January and they realize, you know what, this really isn't working. Mm-hmm. Would independent or private schools be able to take on a student at that time of the year? Does that happen? Can it happen? How does that work?
Yep, it definitely does happen. So it'll depend on if they have space in that class. So some schools, because per grade, they only have one classroom, it definitely can be challenging because most private independent schools are going to have a cap in and around 20. So if it's full, then it's not going to work out. But if they have space, then you can definitely, like, regardless, you can contact a school and just say, listen, we're looking for an immediate spot. Not sure if you have it available. And if they do, then they'll still invite you to do that whole process. So that's why I said some schools do rolling admissions as well, because again, parents realize halfway through the year, like, this is not working out for my child. It's not a good fit, which is also not a good feeling as a parent. I've been in that situation before with my daughter's daycare, and it's the worst feeling when you're just like, okay, this did not work out how I thought it was going to. And then yeah, having to switch them as well. So yeah, I would definitely contact the schools directly and just see what your options are. It's so dependent on the school and the grade.
And then this is going to be a pros and cons question. Are there pros to moving from a public system to some sort of private or independent system?
Yeah. I mean, class size is the big one. That's my challenge with public school. was that the class sizes are so big. I taught in the Toronto district with 31 kids in kindergarten with me and an EC, and it's just it's survival mode. Even the parents comment, like, I don't know how you do this every day. They're like, I'm struggling to maintain my own too. Right? So yeah, class size is probably one of the top five reasons I think why parents switch, especially if they've seen the dynamics of the class. Grades 1 to 3, right? They have a cap in and around 20 typically in public, but then when you get to grade 4, it's just kind of, you're not really sure what's going to happen. And we know too, right, that children are learn best when they're in smaller environments, right? And they have the opportunities to have more connection with the teacher and more touch points. So yeah, that is definitely a big one. A lot of the reasons why parents are switching too is because they just don't have the support for their child. So their child has been identified in whichever grade it is, and they're just not getting the in-school support that their child needs. So typically that's a big reason why parents decide to leave.
So are there any cons to leaving the public education system and going into a private or independent school? Having said all of those beautiful, wonderful things.
I would say, another pro that I did forget is usually the opportunity that's available for co-curriculars or sports. There's just generally a lot of options, like a lot of private or a lot of independent schools, just to say, because they have the facilities. They're using these beautiful facilities to host their sporting events in, right? So they have amazing facilities. Like one school that I worked at had almost like a full Olympic size pool, swimming pool for the children to swim in, right? And another school that I worked at like used the UFT facilities, which is an amazing thing. Your child's using these incredible state-of-the-art facilities, right? So that's definitely another pro. And you're just getting access to different things that you wouldn't necessarily have in public school. But I would say one of the cons is that the variety and the diversity of students is not always there. Some schools are getting much better at it, and there's a lot of financing options that are available if parents know about it early enough and can tap into that. But unfortunately, that is probably one of the biggest cons, I'd say, is that the lack of diversity and accessibility for all people is not great. So it's definitely a lot of students actually I've taught in like the middle school level, they kind of say it's a bubble because it's not, they feel like it's not real life. Right? They're not getting exposure to a bunch of different students. And that's why it's important too, right? When you're looking into schools, to see that they do have as much diversity as they can, and also diversity in learning styles too, right? And ability levels, because if all the children are the same, then your child's not really seeing what everyday life is like outside of that.
Yeah. So let's talk about funding for a minute, because you brought it up. I mean, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's not easy, right? Like finding the ability to do it. It's worth it and was necessary in our case. And we're certainly reaping the benefits of that. And I'm the first one to say that, but it's not every family that can afford it. And the school that we're sending our son to is not the most expensive. I mean, I would say it's on the cheaper end of what it would cost.
Yeah.
So what are the options for families in terms of funding and supporting and helping pay for an independent or private school if need be?
Yeah. So there is, as long as you apply early enough, it's called Apple Financial, and it is a support system that parents can apply to get funding to attend schools. There's also some schools, not all schools, that offer scholarships or bursaries or any additional funding along those lines. And so sometimes too, the scholarships can be based on academics, which again is tough because as long as your child has this like certain criteria of academic level, then they have access to it. But then some are just based on other different factors. Like it's super dependent on the school. So I always say it is really best just to reach out to that individual school to say like, what options do you have? Some schools will also not expect you to pay everything up front. They can divide the payments a little more stretched across the year, which is more helpful to parents rather than just paying like a month at a time, right? They can pay in smaller installments, which can be easier on families. But I know it's a huge cost. And especially parents are always asking me, my child has just finished daycare and I was just excited to not pay for daycare anymore. Like, not the daily thing, but they still have before and after care, right? So to think of adding that expense plus some, right, can be a lot. And some independent schools can be very, very pricey per year.
Yeah. Are there, I mean, there aren't, I'm assuming there aren't any sort of supports really to help parents with the financing for that, right? Like, it's all kind of done out of parent pocket, basically, right?
A lot of the time, yeah. And unless you're going through Apple financing, yeah, it can be really tricky because parents, oh, and that's the thing too, like as you were saying, you have to make it work,
yeah,
right? If you just know it's not working, unfortunately some parents will be like, you know what, I am going to do whatever I can because my child needs this, right? Our family needs this, right? That we can't keep doing what we're currently doing. So yeah, it's definitely a challenge for a lot of families, but it is good just to see what options are available too, because you never know what's out there unless you ask.
Yeah. So where do parents start this search? They're ready to make a change. They know they need to. We're kind of at the time of year where parents need to start looking at it. Where do they start their search to explore it and find the right fit for their child?
So ourkids.net is a great first step. So typically a lot of parents go on there and then they search schools. You can filter it by like male, female, co-ed. You can also do it by the age range or just any specifics that you want in like programming wise. And then it'll bring a lot of options.
And that's, a lot of options.
That's usually yep. When parents come to me, they're like, I've seen all of these options. I don't know the difference between the schools. I don't know what's going to be the best option. And that's why parents come to me, because the idea of looking on there is so nice. But then once they get onto it, it can be a lot. But it's a good starting point because then it gives you an idea of how many schools are out there, right? Because a lot of parents don't even realize what's out there. And I mean, every October, at the end of October, there's an Our Kids Expo, which is a chance to, they have one in Toronto and then they have one in the Halton region, and it's an opportunity for parents to talk to the schools. It's kind of like a university college style fair where you can talk to all the independent schools, private schools, and just get a glimpse into a little bit more of their programming and what they're all about. And they also have, like, I'm going to it this year, and they have sessions for parents on how to navigate financing, tuition, and how to choose the best fit school as well.
Right.
So they definitely have those workshops available for parents if they want to attend them.
Okay, so I know you've talked about that one, Our Kids site, which is great. I have been there. I spent a lot of time there, which is why I know that when you put in the filters, you still come up with 101 different options. And it's a little bit like heart pounding for a moment because you're like, I don't know what to do. But are there any other resources that you would point families towards when they're looking at switching from one type of educational system to another?
Yeah. I mean, if parents are kind of thinking, like, especially after this episode, they're like, you know what, I'm thinking I kind of want to go into an independent school route. They can also go onto the Canadian Accredited Independent School website. And from there, you can find schools and then filter it as well, which gives you more options. Like, it's either by day school. They also have boarding school options if that's something that families are interested in as well. And then just directly reaching out to schools, I feel like, is another touch point because you get to know a lot more. And the admissions departments are great. Like, they're so eager to talk to families and just help you and guide you along your way.
Yeah, that is very true. I certainly spoke to one admission school where we didn't end up getting in the end, but they spent a lot of time on the phone with us, kind of talking us through the system. And we were very much in the thick of the lockdown of COVID when we were having those discussions. So I'll say that one of the ways we did it, I literally just did a Google map. And I put in like private schools, and it was more just because I wanted to see distance to home. Right. Mm-hmm. So again, to come back to that piece of like being close to home and not having to worry about the distance, like that worked for us. It's not going to work for everybody, but it happened to work for us.
No. And the hard thing too, sometimes with like, even just typing in like private independent schools nearby in Google, it doesn't always bring them all up. Right. So when you go on Our Kids, you're like, wow, like there's so many different types of schools, right? The parents aren't even aware of that are in their area, because sometimes schools are in old houses or they're in some old factories, right? You just don't even realize.
My kids is the back annex part of a church.
Yeah.
That most people, when I tell them it's there, they're like, where is that? And then I tell them, they're like, oh, I totally know where that is. Yep. It's right there.
Yeah, exactly. So,
Yeah, you have to dig a little bit to find them. Paige, where can people learn more about you and what you do?
Yeah, so I'm over on Instagram, so at Renew Education. You can also look at my website, www.reneweducation.ca. I have complimentary discovery calls for parents. Some parents will just contact me and say, we're thinking of making a change, and I just want to chat with you more about it. So that's definitely a great touch point if you are looking to do that. And then you can also find more about me and the services that I offer. I offer package plans for parents. It's like a whole support plan to navigate finding a school. And then sometimes parents just want to consult with me on an hourly basis. And I do that as well when it's needed.
Amazing. Well, Paige, thank you so much for this information. I know that for me, it's a little bit helpful to kind of take a pulse of what's happening as well. But yeah, I hope that many of the listeners have gotten the benefits as well.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you are looking for help and support in creating a roadmap to success for your child through challenging times, contact me at access2education.com. I work with all families to help them build power and knowledge in understanding their child's needs and how to build success through advocacy. Follow me on Facebook and Instagram at access2education Toronto. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast so together we can create your roadmap to success.